You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Tuesday. We are back and doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team. Every day, I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. I am here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. What is going on with me? I don't even know. Today's episode is brought to you by Sotos. Sotos, the official sponsor of ESPN College Football. Go to Sotos.com to learn more. We are going to get into the mailbag as promised today from last week, since last week Christmas kind of derailed everything for me. So we are back and doing this now. So let's start with our leaders and best, starting with James Crudup at James Crudup 6. If Michigan were to win by a forfeit or beat a severely compromised opponent, whether it's Georgia or the winner of the Bama-Cincinnati game, would you still consider it a legitimate championship? Yes, because unfortunately it's part of the game right now. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. It's one of those things where obviously you hope that everyone's full strength, close to full strength. I know there's the rumors that things with Daxton Hill. I do know that he is not. I have a pretty good. I got a pretty good feeling and a shout out to Trent Noop for this, that he is that he isn't in Florida at the moment. That doesn't mean he won't be. Keep in mind that things can change. But I haven't gotten confirmation on anything with him. But I do know the rumors are potentially founded. So hopefully he is able to come to Florida. Certainly look at JT Daniels. Everyone thought maybe he's going to be out, and he's making his way down here now. So that's things can change kind of on a dime. But you hope that everyone is full strength and you're able to go in that manner. Josh Barr at Jadicky, how worried should we be about the news coming out of Georgia regarding COVID, hoping both teams are at full strength for the game? And that seems unlikely right now. It's just like you, like I just said, I guess, and my fault for not reading ahead there. I think that I think both teams will end up being fine. We'll see. But I mean, it's going to take a minute for everything to, for us to really know. And it's not like we're around the teams like we normally are. We haven't been able to go to practice or anything, but so I don't know for sure. But I mean, I'm not terribly concerned, to be honest. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. What do you expect Michigan's offensive game plan to be? Well, I think it's going to end up being something that looks like a hybrid between the Penn State and Wisconsin games. I certainly think that you're going to use a lot of those running back screen type of plays, or dump offs and different things. Certainly a lot of play action, especially considering they know Michigan wants to run. And I would imagine some trickeration, some throwing in J.J. McCarthy so that they have to defend all 11 essentially in a way. And I think that they'll mix up a lot of things to keep Georgia completely off kilter. As Josh Gattis often likes to say, putting a defense in conflict. That's what I think that they will do. Just by the way, I'm keeping this a little bit shorter. Just to get back to all these things, I'm not going to go with a 40 minutes like we often do. Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. After the first quarter, you're encouraged. If what has happened, Michigan has a lead, and I'm certainly would be encouraged if Michigan can run the ball. If they get out there and they can get a couple first downs on the ground or averaging 4 yards a carry on the ground, then I'm pretty encouraged. Number two, biggest need in the late signing period. I'm trying to think here. I mean, probably more edge rushers, defensive end types. That would be my guess. Number three, what uniform combo do you think we'll see in the Orange Bowl? I'm going to guess all blue because they've done pretty well when they've worn all blue. So I think that. And number four, and I know this is belated, but happy, and I'm adding that part. Happy holidays to you and Zuri, my brother. Well, thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate you. KRT at Barmerk 84, happy holidays. Do you think the O-line winning the Joe Moore Award will translate into some big-time OL recruiting wins? Really impressive year from Coach Moore. I mean, I certainly hope so, and I would imagine, right, it's one of those things where it's like, why wouldn't you want to come here? We'll see what happens with Josh Connerly down the stretch. But, I mean, why wouldn't you want to come to Michigan? They're in the playoff. They got the best offensive line. You hope that they parlay all in any success, whether it be awards, whether it be, winning a championship, if they are able to do that, or at least advancing the national championship game, if they're able to do that, whatever they're able to do, they can probably parlay that into some success. But like, I, to me, it's like, yeah, why wouldn't you want to come to Michigan at this point if you're an offensive lineman? Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156, finishing us off in segment one. Who is your off-the-wall MVP of the Orange Bowl? Mine is Roman Wilson. So this isn't my typical one, but yeah, my off-the-wall one, if I really want to be off the wall, I'm going to say Junior Colson. I think they're going to need a big game from him. That's probably not that off the wall, because you figure he's probably going to be in coverage a little bit with Brock Bowers. You know Michigan's going to try to take away Brock Bowers. So I think that he would be the guy to do that, you know. So he would be my off-the-wall MVP. We'll see if that comes to fruition. But I think they're going to need a big game from Colson in order to do what they need to do. All right, that's going to do it for segment one. We'll be back here momentarily and continuing with your questions. All right, now we're going to continue on with our Victor's Valiant, starting with Jim at Jim in the North. How much of the offensive line returns? So here's what I think the starting offensive line is going into next year. Michigan yesterday got the commitment from Oluwatawi, and he's the All-American center from Virginia. So obviously he's out there, I would imagine. But I will say Ryan Hayes, Trevor Keegan, Oluwatawi, Zinter, Trente Jones. So you're losing both Andrews, and we'll see if Chuck Filiaga wants to do a sixth year. He certainly could be in the mix, but I'm not really sure beyond that. But I would imagine Trente Jones, and then Carson Barnhart's going to be involved in some way, somehow, I would imagine. So number two in your deep dive, you can compare offensive and defensive ratings. Do those rankings take strength of schedule into account, i.e. a stop in Western may not be a super achievement, even if they have good numbers? I notate, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, they did really good against Western, just like, you know, you look at like, hey, that team did really good against, like, you know, Western Kentucky. I mean, I'm not talking about Georgia in that case, but I mean, I'm not sitting there necessarily. I'm like, I do eschew somewhat the non-conference games or things of that matter. You know what I mean? Adam Kasel at Adam_Kasel. I saw a quote from Kirby Smart about Michigan being a senior-led team. There are some strong senior leaders on this team, but the starting lineup is not filled with them. That seems like he doesn't know Michigan's roster very well. Do you agree, or am I reading too much into this? I believe when he said that, though, that was like the day of the announcement. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that came like the day of the announcement. I think that I wouldn't read too much into Kirby feeling that way, but I certainly see, like, you know, a lot of Ohio State beat writers say, well, Michigan loses like everybody, except for they don't lose, like, they lose Aiden, they lose Hassan. Those are the two biggest losses. Sounds like they're going to lose Ajabo, but they return so much. So, yeah, I don't think it's as big, but I don't think it's that big of a deal. You know what I mean? Spencer Whitmore at Spencer Whitmore. More shocked by Michigan winning by 21 plus or losing by 21 plus? Honestly, neither would shock me. I don't really know. I mean, I predicted Michigan to win in my Big Ten picks column today. I predicted Michigan to win 24-17. I would not be surprised either way. I think I'd probably be more shocked by Michigan losing by that much, but I also wouldn't be shocked. You know, I think that all things are on the table in this one. I have no idea what to expect. Continuing, also made an impulsive purchase and going to the game solo, playing tickets for more than the game. I bet, man. Congratulations on that. Hopefully you get down early enough that there's no threat of cancellation and stuff. I know, obviously, I had issues getting here. Chris Ballas from the Wolverine had issues getting here. Jake Budd is having issues getting here. The Michigan Daily had issues getting here. So hopefully you don't run into any of those issues. Dan Walton at 3D Walton. Pretty clear cut that the season's offensive and defensive MVPs are Haskins and Hutch, who would be the next two. Glad you're feeling better. Merry Christmas and go Blue. Thank you, Dan. Let's see. So my next two, if I want to pick offense, I mean, I think offensive line as a whole, I would probably, I mean, offensive, that's maybe cheating, but I mean, Vastardis might be my offensive MVP outside of that, but Cade McNamara as well, because, I mean, he does a really good job of changing protections and reading defenses and things of that nature, checking Michigan into the right play. Defensively, that one's a little bit tougher. It's just such a, like, group effort team. It's really just a solid team, and that just kind of it's different, right? So I would say, I'm not really sure which one I would go with. Maybe Josh Ross. And I know that that's probably not necessarily the sexy pick, but like you saw the difference of Ross being in games compared to him not being in the game against Rutgers. Just that leadership of being on the field, they needed him, you know, to be able to make adjustments and be that leader of the defense in the middle. Jingling Jen Eric at KJ72. Thoughts on the Albert Karshnia hire to replace Courtney Morgan? Seems underwhelming comparatively. I don't think so. And listen, I know Albert. Albert's a Michigan guy. I knew him before when he was on the staff. He's a really smart guy. He did a really good job at Central Michigan. Don't judge a guy just because they came from Central. I mean, look at Sharon Moore, you know? And I know Courtney Morgan came in with these accolades and whatever. I mean, he was only coming from places like Fresno State, San Jose State, and places like that. And I think he had a lot of relationships. And it's kind of similar. I mean, Albert's young, but he has a lot of relationships, right? Because he was running the show at Central. And, you know, I think he did a really good job there. I don't think it's underwhelming at all. I don't think you're looking for necessarily for a splash at that position, you know, in that position. So we will see. Garbo at Garbo 824. What will be the name of the COVID variant next year that cancels bowl games? I don't know, but that's funny. Obviously, hopefully we're beyond that next year. Hopefully. Knock on wood. Tyler at T_Force1. If Michigan beats Georgia, who are your offensive and defensive MVPs of that game and why? Defensive for me, it's going to be Josh Ross. I think that he's got to have the big game. It's really on him, especially with what Georgia wants to do. And he might have a bigger impact than just making plays, right? Getting people lined up, making sure his fellow linebackers are out there doing their thing. And I think I think it really is going to be on him. The other part for me very much is Cade McNamara, because I think the game is going to come. It's going to be, the ball is going to be put into his hands. They're going to load up and try to stop the run. Cade's going to have to make good decisions. He's going to take what the defense gives them. He's going to have to do a lot of different things that are like, it's, if Cade has a bad game, the offense isn't going to work, right? So he needs to be the Cade we saw the last couple games. He needs to be able to hit some guys downfield. He needs to, you know, be able to make smart decisions, and they're going to have to convert on third downs. It's going to take a lot, and it's going to take a lot from Cade, the leader of the team, of the offense, to get the job done. So that's, I think it's going to take the team captain on defense on one end, and the leader, the junior leader, on offense in order to win against Georgia. Maybe it's Hassan Haskins. Maybe I think that they'll stop the run to some degree, but I think that's where Cade comes in. Rob Anto at Rob Anto 1 to finish us out in segment 2. Do you think Michigan's offense has any advantages over Georgia's defense? I think the big one is you don't know where Michigan's getting its production from. You can't hone in. Like, Michigan can hone in on Brock Bowers and Zamir White and James Cook and say, all right, good luck without those guys. And they'll give you a pretty good shot if you can slow those guys down. With Michigan, you can slow down Haskins and Corum, but there's other players, right? There's all these receivers and then, you know, obviously the physicality of the offensive line. So I think that this is the best offense that, aside from Alabama, that Georgia will have faced. It's certainly the most diverse. And I think that makes it really hard to defend, because there's just so many different guys, you know, and even receiver wise, you know, you can't sleep on Mike Samer still. You can't sleep on, even though we haven't seen much from him, on Daylon Baldwin. You can't sleep on Andrell Anthony. You can't sleep on Roman Wilson. There's so many different guys who can get involved, and that, you know, you just can't, if you're them, you can't sleep on Eric All. You can't sleep on, you know, Luke Schoonmaker. They all can make plays. And I think that is a crucial element of the Michigan offense. All right, we are going to continue. We've got several more questions left from mostly, not completely, some people we don't ask questions all the time. So We will get into that momentarily, but before we do, listen, betonline.ag, they have you covered this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football continues its march through the college bowl season and pro football playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head over to the website or use the mobile device to sign up today. You receive your 50% welcome bonus using your first using the promo code Locked on your first deposit, rather. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, NFC, I don't know what that is. I guess football. We got football on the mind, right? So your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. So don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, normally, and I'm not, as you can see, I'm not right now wearing a home field shirt, but you know how much I love home field. I had to obviously pick this up. I love this whole little Miami deal on my shirts, this Capital One Orange Bowl. But y'all know how much I love home field. I wear a home field something almost every day. Whether it's, yes, I have a Georgia shirt. I've been wearing it in conjunction even after the announcement of the game. I'm wearing it in conjunction with my Michigan joggers because, you know, I'm going to play both sides. So either way, I come out on top. Nonetheless, I mean, home field, if you don't know what it is, it's an apparel company. They go in and they research your university and they come up with these amazing curated designs. They're absolutely incredible. That's why I own a Georgia shirt, a Texas shirt, a Miami shirt. I was wearing my Miami shirt earlier today because I'm, you know, down here. That's why I have all those things. But there's 19 different things that they have for Michigan. You go to homefieldapparel.com. You can use the promo code LockedOnWolverines to get 15% off of your first order from there. Keeping in mind as well that the thing about home field is this is not a company that came to me. I went to them because I love home field. That's why, I mean, I've got the most comfortable hoodies, whether it's my Michigan hoodie, my Slippery Rock hoodie, or my Tulane hoodie. They are all awesome. I get compliments on all of them. The compliments on all of the shirts. They look cool and they're the most comfortable things ever. So go again, homefieldapparel.com. And then you can use the promo code LockedOnWolverines to get 15% off of your first order. All right, we've got plenty more left. So let's continue on. Part alternation mark just beat Georgia rainbow flag at Michigan_Ohio. What is your favorite moment from the season, not including the Ohio State game? Probably something with Wisconsin. Maybe, I don't know, the Haskins hurdle in the Nebraska game. That just felt like a big play at a big moment. That's probably it for me. It's hard to pick a Washington one because I was up in the press box. It just isn't the same feel. That's probably it, is that the Haskins hurdle. Just because, like, there was a big play at a necessary moment when Michigan was down, and it got Michigan into the position to where it could win the game because they absolutely needed that play right then. And it was just showing by brute force. So outside of the Ohio State game, that's probably it. Jared at Jared4830-1357. I think if Michigan rushes for 150 yards, they win the game. I agree. Other than our offensive line versus the Georgia defensive line, what's the most important personnel matchup between the two teams? Personally, special teams sticks out to me. Michigan is ranked number one in the country and Georgia is 25th. Depends on where you look, because Pro Football Focus has Georgia as number one. So I do think it's important. Obviously, you got to win two or three phases to win a game. Special teams is one of those phases. Not to sound like a broken record from what I said yesterday, but I'll say it again. I think that the Michigan's linebacking core, what their job, being able to reel in the run game and stall Brock Bowers, I think that's the most important area. So I think that the Michigan run game, that's very, very important. Or sorry, Michigan linebacking core is very, very important. So yeah, I guess I won't expound on that more than I already have. Sean Stites at Sean Stites 16. Why did they elect to maintain the original schedule? Seems like they could control more moving parts longer in the normal environment. It also seems like Southern programs are having more cases than the northerly ones. Thoughts? Because I think that they just want to get down here and get acclimated to the weather, the environment, you know, it just to it's a different deal, right? Being down here and probably give the kids something. I mean, they're isolated enough. I'm not that concerned, but I think that that's getting to practice down here. You know, I think that, like Josh Gattis said on Monday, like he was concerned that, you know, once they got to see palm trees and the ocean and all of these things, how are they going to react? Like, because you don't want to, you know, get here 2 days before the game and be like, oh, yeah, that wasn't good. You know, they wanted to make sure that they had their time. And I mean, hey, they did their beach day today, which they didn't do when they came in 2016. So I think that also it's partially the reward for, hey, you made it in. Go have some fun a little bit. Still a business trip, but go and have some fun and do your stuff. LOL at you, Sparty, at Duck de Tigre. What, when Sparty beats Pitt and we lose to Georgia, when? Okay. How long until Sparty fans say their season was more successful than ours? Well, they're already saying that. I've already seen that take. I've seen them say, I will be, you know, it'll be so funny if, you know, they go to the playoff and they end up with the same record as us. I mean, one thing is not like the other, right? You play Pitt without Kenny Pickett versus playing a full strength, hopefully full strength Georgia in the college football playoff. It's not the same, but that will happen. That'll absolutely happen. It already is happening because they're pretty confident that Michigan won't win. But I pick Michigan to win. I'm sticking with it. I think that they have more momentum. I think that they have a more complicated offense to defend. And I think that Michigan's defense matches up well against the Georgia offense, personally. Brian Powell at big_pow3. The Georgia defensive starters haven't had to play a full game all season. Their conditioning may not be up to par. Do you think Michigan should try to go up tempo early to wear down the defense more quickly? I don't know. I think they should just do what they've been doing. I mean, they've worn down some teams in general. But I think that making smart plays is probably more important than making fast plays. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Michigan could do up tempo. I'm sure that there's something. If they've seen that up tempo works against Georgia, maybe that'll be a case. I don't know. We'll see. Leon Adams at LL Adam. I'm surprised we haven't heard more about Klink's soon to be promotion. Will our new director of recruiting help us with 5-star recruits? I think 2023 will really see the fruits of our new coach's recruiting ability. I think more so than the director of recruiting. It's not a director. He's like director of recruiting. I don't know exactly the title for Karshnia, but it's essentially the same role as Courtney Morgan. Keep in mind, Ashawn Larkins is the director of recruiting as well. But I think it's not about that as much as it is just results. I certainly think 2023 is, yeah, when you'll start to see it. If Michigan wins at all, you'll see it. Yeah, you'll see it certainly in 2023. And certainly 2024 could be there as well. As far as Klink's promotion, I mean, it'll happen when it happens because it's written into the contract. So Bard's version at Eastern Kill. If you were a hot dog, would you eat yourself? I mean, I don't know or understand. I don't know how I got that in here. Let's finish us out with Baugh at 10 Seville. If you could witness any Michigan football moment from the past in person, what would it be? Probably, I know I could pick an old moment. I could pick 1969 Ohio State. I could pick any of those big bow Ohio State ones. I think there'd be a lot of interesting ones in the 90s, back in the John Cooper era when Ohio State had like the number one team and Michigan beat them. Weirdly, I think I'm going to say 2011 Notre Dame, though, first night game in Michigan history. Like, I still think about that, right? Like, when no one's leaving, everyone's still just so amped up. I mean, that was a heck of a game. I watched it on TV in Southern California at my friend Corinne's, and it was just so exciting, and that would have been one that would have been great to be there, although it was nice being on the West Coast, because afterwards, we still went out. We went to a karaoke bar in somewhere in the Valley, so it's that would have probably been the one that is just, I can't imagine being there in that atmosphere. First night game in the stadium's history, and you get that game, you know? That would probably be it for me. Against a rival, no less. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back on Wednesday to kind of wrap up what the players and coaches and all of them are saying. I've got some thoughts already, but we'll get to those tomorrow. Anyway, thank you for watching and or listening. Cool. I can see the plane. I haven't been watching the video, but hopefully there's been a bunch of planes landing. The airport is literally right back behind me. Anyway, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you for watching and or listening. Peace.